people don't know how to protect themselves from that. Go ahead. Go ahead.
You know what? Add that, because that's something that I was going to say. I was going to use, again, different words. I was going to use the word isolate themselves from all the other crap. So you said protect themselves, and what you were going to say is about those little mini fires or the stuff that gets in the way.
Absolutely. Or those time vampires that
exactly.
Dan Kennedy calls them time vampires, which I love. And one of the things that Dan Kennedy says is, you know, it's funny that people that have nothing to do always want to do it with you.
Right.
And that is so true. You have to protect your time. One of the things that I did when I wanted to shift, when I had that aha moment to action management, was that, there's a couple of things. Number one, I made appointments with myself, and I don't let those appointments get overrun by anything unless I feel that it supersedes the one thing that I'm going to be working on. The second thing is I learned how to say no, but what do you need to people? So
right.
I would have people, you know, Mr. Brummett, do you have a minute? I say no, but what do you need? Because
right.
I want them to know that there is something that I'm working on that is very important. And then I want to hear from them what they have to say. And then I can dictate whether it's something that I can handle right then and there or not. And of course, if it's Mrs. Jones saying, yeah, I'd like to, you know, pay all the way in full up the black belt. Yeah, I've got 5 minutes. Let's go take care of that. You know, that may supersede what I was doing. Or maybe I could say, you know what, the Mrs. Keast in the office can take care of that for you. The other thing that I did was, I told my staff that I am not available except for appointment only. And
right.
I have certain times throughout the week that I am available that my students or parents can make appointments. And sometimes they fill up and the parent or the student has to wait to the following week. And lo and behold, it's not, you know, it's an emergency to them, but it's not always necessarily an emergency. And so that's another thing that I did to protect myself and my time. Also, the other reason I did it was I wanted to teach not only my staff, but I also wanted to teach my students and their parents that there is a way that we are going to approach, you know, Mr. Brummett, and this is how it's done. This is the culture here. Now, everybody understands it. In the beginning, there was a little rift, you know, and I think I started this maybe 5 years ago, I don't remember, but there was a little rift, you know, from the people that had access to me, and, you know, as always, they had to ask me the question, and then the other thing that I did is I taught my staff to ask, you know, well, if you want to talk to Mr. Brummett, we'd have to set up an appointment, what is this about? And if they say, well, I just want to talk to Mr. Brummett, they say, well, I have to know what it's about so I can put it in the appointment book, otherwise I'm going to get in trouble. Mr. Brummett's going to blame me.
I have a new program manager at my second school, and he's not very good at that yet. He doesn't understand how to filter. So people call up and they're like, you know, Ali Alberigo, please. Like, they're my best friends. Can I speak to Ali? And like, oh, I don't know. He's not in right now. Well, please tell him that I called and have him call me right away. It's super important. So I get this message. It sounds like, you know, something's dire. And I call up and they're like, hey, hi, I'm Jim Jones from whatever market. I'm like, oh, man. So I told my guys now specifically, ask these questions. Someone says they want to speak to me. Do you know him personally? No, I don't. Is this a marketing call? Yes, it is. Or what are you selling? What is your product? You know, so that they filter it out and then get me as much info as possible so I can decide on whether I want to call them back or not. Not to be rude, but I just know whether it's a time vampire or not. And that's just so important to do. And another thing, too, people need to get better at the art of delegation. You know, sometimes people are creatures of, if I can't do it myself, you know, they can't do it as well as me, I might as well do it myself kind of mindset. I'll just do it because I do it the best. Well, get used to training people to become better than you at things so that you don't have to do those things. My ultimate goal is to get millions of things done in a day. However, I'm not doing them all. I have like I have 17 employees, and out of them, I'll delegate to the top five of what I need to do. what this has to be done over here, what that, bring this to the bank, you know, make sure you clean that room, take care of this, call these people. I mean, I'm just kind of like a conductor in an orchestra waving the wand over to the right saying, do this over here and do that. And that's what a boss does. However, most bosses work, a lot of bosses who are self-employed work in the trenches as hard, if not harder, than the employees while they're there watching. I used to do this. I did manual labor and landscaping. I'd be shoveling rock alongside of the guys, and I noticed for every three shovels I did, they'd do one. I was hoping that they would learn from my motivation and expertise and strength. However, they were like, man, they're smarter than me. They're going, wow, he's doing three to my one. I'm going to just keep on doing one. He'll do three. We'll get done real quick. And they were just being lazy. So, you know, right. There is a certain level of expectation and certain learning how to delegate and become better at what we do, not being afraid to do it.
Exactly. And I tell my the only two people that can answer the phone anyways is Mr. Bean and Mrs. Keith. So my program director, my head instructor, they're the only two besides myself that can answer the phone. And when a marketing piece comes through, you know, somebody wants to talk to me and Yellow Pages or whatever, you know, they just say that, well, here's our email address, email us the information and I will forward it to him. And if he is interested, he'll get in contact with you. Like, I don't even have them leave me their number. I don't want it. And I want the email. And then I'll actually, if I'm interested, I'll email them back. Actually, what I do is if I'm interested, I ask Mrs. Keith, to, you know, my program director, to email them back and set up a phone call, a phone appointment. Like I even do phone appointments. So, everything is scheduled. And I know it sounds, maybe to some people it sounds too rigid, but that's what allows me the freedom. And here's the important piece, I believe. That's what allows me the freedom to have even time where I just sit and think about the business. And I do have, at that time, I do have a legal pad. I am writing things down. So, although there are times that I don't have a legal pad with me and I'm thinking, and I'll email it to me. Like, I'll speak it into my phone and email it to me so that I have that idea for later. Like, for instance, I don't know why, but yesterday I was at church and it this idea hit me. I'm not saying it's from God. That's not what I'm saying. But, you know, the idea hit me about, you know, I do a monthly newsletter every single month. Why not move to a quarterly newsletter, make it more of an actual newsletter, and it being full color, nice newsletter, I would have to plan everything 3 months in advance, but I already have it planned. I would have to work on the marketing a little bit ahead of time, but I would plan everything 3 months in advance. I would get other business owners approach other business owners to market inside of this. And here was my reasoning for this, is I actually do a magazine that gets out, sent out to people that in our area that live in a certain area and a certain demographic, make a certain amount of money. And I know what I pay just to be in that magazine every single month. And I'm thinking, why not do the same thing? And I've got, you know, over 300 students in my school. So that's probably, I don't know, 275 families that are there. Why don't I have people paying me to be inside of my magazine, that it's a quarterly magazine that they get to advertise every 3 months in? And then it raises the professionalism inside of my school, that our newsletter is, you know, a nice color newsletter. And I do the articles anyway, so what's the big deal, right? So I say all that because there are times that when I have my downtime, that even I schedule downtime just to sit and think about the business. And I wouldn't be able to do that if I didn't have these other things set up, knowing that like, for instance, one of my coaching clients, I told him he's stressed. He's doing everything. And I told him, I said, look, you need to schedule yourself a day off. Sunday just isn't enough. I said, so next week, what I want you to do is I want you to schedule Wednesday off. You have to teach, I understand, but Wednesday morning I want you to take off. He's like, yeah, but I already feel guilty just thinking about that. I said, no, you shouldn't feel guilty. Here's why: because you scheduled it.
Right.
And one, it's an appointment. You are going to make a mental health appointment with yourself. And I'll tell you what, that was one of the best things that he did. He made that appointment. He didn't feel guilty after that. He was more productive because he actually just, you know, I think he rented movies and watched some movies that day. I think he played some video games. I don't remember everything he did. But he goes, right. Man, it was so good. And so it's important for us to make appointments for ourselves so that we have time to get everything done. It's important, like you said, to delegate as much as we possibly can, because we are the thinkers in our business. And if we don't, if we're too tired, we cannot come up with the ideas. And I don't know if this, like this whole newsletter thing, I don't know if it's going to fly. I'm going to investigate a little bit more, see how much it would cost to do something like that, see if I can get some viable people to, and I know some other business owners in this town, you know, small business owners that I think that would be able to advertise. I just want to cover my costs of the newsletter. But then I want it to look really good, if that makes sense.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. I love it. Yeah, I think newsletters are amazing. I think that, you know, there are many ways to do that. But really, the whole communication aspect is the most important thing. Yeah, so let's recap slightly. I mean, talking about the time management / action management, or, you know, whatever.
I'm going to get you to let go of that word. I'm going to get you to let go of time management.
Yeah, you know what? It's something it's been something that I've been using forever. So to me, even though that you and I agree, I think that the words are the same in my head. But you know what? As I know and I've learned with relationships, that I can be saying one thing and, you know, my girlfriend or ex-girlfriend or ex-wife, whatever, could perceive it totally different. There's a funny video that I wanted to post on my page, but it's got some language in it. And it was about it was a martial art dojo with one of the female comedians. And she had three guys there, and she was teaching them how to communicate with women. And she had a student come up, and she says, okay, this is the scenario, you know. And she'd say, your girlfriend is feeling unappreciated, and she tries to talk to you, and what do? And then they'd have to practice the scenario, and she'd be like, no, you know, that's not what you do. It was totally illogical, whatever they were doing, so the guys were getting it wrong every time. But anyway, so it's about communication, knowing the verbiage that we're using. So I think we're on the same page. But anyway, I like action management because I manage my actions. That's what I do. However, I also am working with a few of my personal one-on-one coaching clients, and I'm helping them to understand how to prioritize. It's very confusing to the average person to know what, and like Stephen Covey says, and I have it right in front of me. He has some things that, you know, he calls sharpening the saw. And, you know, you have your tasks, which could be, you know, physical, social, mental, spiritual, and then your roles of what you're going to play in those tasks. And then business-wise, you know, what are your goals? And which ones are the ones that are going to bring you forward? Like, which are the big tasks? Which are the medium tasks? And which are the busy tasks? So what is it that's going to, you know, we could say, and here's a perfect example, I want to make $1 million. Everyone wants to make $1 million. Okay, what are you going to do? I'm going to start here's a better example. I want to lose weight. Okay, great. How much do you want to lose? 60 pounds. Okay, great. What are you going to do? I join the gym. This is where people fail. They join the gym. Okay, well, what are you going to do when you go to the gym? I'm going to lift weights. They don't have a routine. They don't have the knowledge. They don't even know how to set their schedule. So they join the gym. They go 3 or 4 times, maybe even 3 or 4 weeks consistently, and then they fall off track. So like you said, they have to schedule time with themselves. They have to say, every Monday, Wednesday, Friday, that's my time from 9 to 10 a.m. I'm going to the gym. They schedule it like it's an appointment. And they have to make sure religiously they go. Then they got to learn how to actually work out. Then they have to learn how to actually eat. So there are many components within the dream or the vision or the goal to just say, I want to lose weight. That's why so many people fail, because they don't know how to categorize, prioritize, and organize their lives, if that makes sense.
Makes perfect sense. And let's take it into, you know, our realm for the martial arts. Got a client and he's talking about where he'd like to make, you know, $5,000 more per month. I think that's what the number was. So we broke things down out of the different programs that he has. And I said, now what's the program that's the most profitable for you? And he told me what it was. And I said, okay. I said, that's the one that we're going to focus in on. And he's like, well, but these other two programs, we're not going to advertise about those. I said, no. I said, we're going to focus on this one program. We need, what we decided was we needed 15 people. He could actually comfortably with his space take 15 more people in that program. I said, you are going to advertise solely just for that program, and we're going to build that up so that you have the 15 people in that program. Then once you do, now we're going to move to the second program that you want to fill. That is the second most profitable, and then we're going to work on those 15, and then the third. So that we're just totally focused on that one, because he was trying to, you know, juggle all three balls. You got three main programs, and juggle these three balls and then advertise these three. And well, now he's, you know, of course, splitting his marketing costs, splitting the opportunity to be able to actually reach people. And so we're going to be totally focused on that one. But you're right. I mean, until you know what you don't know, of course, then you don't know it. And that's probably one of our favorite sayings, is you don't know what you don't know. But you got to be totally focused. But you got to know what is the most important thing to focus in on.
Well, that's why there is a few coaching people out there now that are really doing well within the martial art community, because it's almost as if they've lifted the veil, opened up the curtain, and you could see behind the curtain. You could see it's Oz. In the Wizard of Oz, that he's there, and they're giving these little bits of information that actually work, so people are looking at it going like, oh my God, this is genius. However, like even in our program, Dwayne, and we're working on, you know, launching something amazing. We talk about, you know, the basic concepts of knowing how to run your business could be sexy. You know, it could be, but, you know, sometimes the newest, shiniest bell and whistle looks sexier because it's new and shiny. However, if you could polish up the old shoes, so to speak, you might be able to get them to work and look better and, like, as if brand new, and perform just as well, if not better, for you. So mainly I'm looking forward to really looking at, how to do things. And that's the same thing with time management. How do we put things in order so that we accomplish those tasks? How do we organize them in a way of importance so that the business moves forward in the direction that it's supposed to? More students, more profitability, less stress, higher quality. Those things are moving forward. We can just be in the trenches every day, and quite often school owners are. They teach class, they think they're marketing, they think they're doing things, but they're really not, like you said, hyper-focused on the areas of importance that are going to grow their business and push them forward, where they're going to be able to see, reap the rewards of the successes.
Yeah, and that's why, you know, somebody on the outside seeing those things, you know, like I told, you know, my client, I said that, you know, we got to focus on this one thing. He would have never saw it because he's inside the medicine bottle and he couldn't see the prescription on the outside. And
right.
So sometimes you need an outside person to actually see those things or have been through them. That's what's so nice about, you know, our industry is – and other industries too, but we have people in our industry that have gone through those things before, overcome those obstacles, had the aha moments well before you ever did, and then can share those things with you. I mean, I think that's what we're doing on these calls. I hope that's what we're doing on these calls. I guess my final word is that time management, action management, whatever you call it, just understand that the definition is all about you getting things done. You
right.
Knowing the difference between your project time and your process time,
mm-hmm.
and then knowing what you know that you got to guard your time from the time vampires, the
right.
individuals that, you know, just run around with their umbilical cord trying to plug it in somewhere. That's another Kennedyism, but you know, you have to guard yourself, so you set up safeguards for that. It's not that you don't want to spend time with these people, although there may be a few that you don't want to anyways, but
right.
It's that most of the questions can be answered by your staff as long as they're trained appropriately. Even if they're not trained appropriately, heck, 50% of those questions could be answered by your staff. But,
right.
you know, my staff should be able to answer 97%, 99%, somewhere around there. I'm the one that has to make the final decision with regards to if somebody, you know, were to get a discount or if they could pay in full or something like that. But other than that, there's no other questions that they should not be able to answer. So I guess that's my final say on this call. Allie, last words.
Yeah, my last words are the one thing too that you had mentioned about, you know, those energy vampires. It's all about scheduling. An energy vampire doesn't necessarily have to be a person. It could be Facebook. It could be texting. It could be the internet, Google searching. I have a client that I'm working with, and he texts me on Facebook. He says, "Oh, this time management, organizational skills stuff, whatever you're going to call it, is doing great," as he's tapping away at the computer. And I go, "Did you schedule me in to talk to me? Because I don't know why you're even talking to me then if it's not on your schedule." And he'd be like, "Oops, all right." So now he's got it down, so he has like 40 minutes of Facebook time per day, and he splits it up into 20-minute intervals, you know. And you know, he's able to do it in the morning and the afternoon. So now he's not all of a sudden like a wild monkey jumping from tree to tree and different posts all over. And at the end of the day, he's got nothing done, right? So anyway, so that's important. So that could also be a time vampire, right? So we have to look at all the stuff we do, and we have to look at it in levels of productivity and what are the big tasks, the ones that move us forward, that are going to help change our lives, our financial landscape, and the things that we have to do to keep the ship going, you know, the moving forward. And then also, you know, knowing what's a waste of our time and learning how to say no. Learning how to say, "No, I'm not going to waste time on this garbage. I'm just not doing it. I'm not going to fall into it. I'm not going to be sucked into that vortex where I'm going to lose my hours." That's basically my whole entire concept. So, yeah, good call.
Yeah, I thought so. And, you know, this isn't the right time, but understanding what your time is worth will help you make the decision. I think will help. It did for me. Will help you make the decision to put up those, you know, set boundaries for yourself from people, to set schedules with yourself, to get things done, because then you know what actually your time is worth. And then when you waste it, you can actually see that, oh man, I wasted X number of dollars, you know, this hour just, you know, surfing the internet. So, of course, this isn't the appropriate call for that, but knowing what your time is worth would, I think, help motivate you.
Yeah, oh, definitely, without a doubt. Yeah, and you know what? Realizing that if you learn how to be productive, how much your time could really be worth, right? That's
Absolutely.
another,
Because,
you know, so cool,
yeah.
Dwayne. Excellent call, as always. Great working and talking to you, and I'm hoping that everybody, you know, gets something out of these calls, and I'm excited. So I guess we're done for today. So I'll sign off, and then you sign off. So everybody, I'll talk to you soon. Please share this with a friend, and thanks for listening.
That's exactly what you said, or that's exactly what I was going to say, was share it and get managing your action.
Yeah, exactly.
Have a great
Talk
day,
later.
everyone.
Take care, everybody.